Welcome to another Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.
With the Olympics in full swing, I thought let's look back at a few interesting Olympic facts and figures right through the history of the Olympics. What do you think of that, Rick?
I think that's a very good idea, Rob. What are we going to start with?
I reckon one of my favourite events ever was Kieran Perkins when he won the gold medal from the lane eight, which is like almost impossible.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because that would have been the event that I would have chosen if you'd asked me to go first. I can remember it clearly. The first time I heard it was on the radio when I was standing, believe it or not, at the Edwards Park netball courts on Anzac Highway. And it was like a dream. It's virtually the impossible task to win any event from lane eight. And it was probably the most wonderful time of any Olympic event that I have heard and then witnessed.
Now, of course, Kieran won the gold medal at Barcelona in 14:43:48, which was a world record. And then in Atlanta, he wasn't feeling the best. And in the heats and the semi-finals, he almost pulled out. But he went in there and he got in by the skin of his teeth. He qualified eighth. And he ended up going on to make it back-to-back in 14:56:40.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I mean, obviously, the fact that he was in lane eight indicates that he was only the last and eighth qualifier. But I think it shows the thing that separates the boys from the men, and it's mental strength. I mean, it's simply you can't do that unless you've got the mental capacity to overcome adversity, and lane eight sure is adversity.
So obviously he would have gone out sort of fairly hard and got a good lead, and of course the main competition would have been in like lanes four and five. They'd be looking at each other, and they probably really didn't realise until it was too late that Kieran had got a good lead on them.
Well, that may be the case. The great advantage, and why it's almost like seeding in tennis, the great advantage of being in those lanes in the middle of the pool is that the amount of wave motion and drag is minimal compared with being on the outside of the pool. And so I'd be surprised if they weren't aware that the bloke was there, but I would be also surprised if they really thought that he was going to get up and win.
Absolutely, and of course, in Sydney, he was one of the heavy favourites, but he won the silver medal. He came second to Grant Hackett, who, interestingly enough, made it back-to-back when he won the gold in the 1500 in Athens and took the silver in Beijing to emulate what Kieran Perkins did.
Yes, well, of course. I mean, to be beaten by Grant Hackett is no disgrace. I mean, he was, basically just what you've said. He was in the same ilk as Perkins, whether he was quite as good, but the results suggest that he was in the same league at least.
Now, while we're talking about Australian Olympians, Cathy Freeman, what she did in 2000 was spectacular. To have all that pressure on her, to light the cauldron. She was in that bodysuit. Who could forget? The whole nation stopped to watch that particular race.
It was. It was an extraordinary pressure moment for her, and probably not of her own making. I mean, it was putting Australia out there to the world, and to lay that sort of expectation on any individual is an extraordinary thing to do. I mean, most of the time we try to protect our champion athletes from that pressure, whereas I know it was our showcase, but she was on a hiding to nothing. I mean, she had to win. And I would suggest that showed the amazing mental strength of that girl as well, just like Perkins.
Now, she won the silver medal in Atlanta in 96, 4 years earlier, and of course she had gold medals at the Commonwealth Games. She ran her winning time of 49.11, but I'll never forget her coming around the bend. She sort of appeared to be like midfield, but once they straightened up and she got ahead and she just streamed away, and I was filled with so much pride watching her come to the finish line.
Oh, it was a wonderful event. it's very deceptive as when you're, you know, other than basically the 100 metres, because everyone, because of the lane situation, it's a little bit hard to judge just where the field is because of the staggered starts. I don't know. I can remember what you've just talked about, and it was absolutely amazing. But whether she actually was as far behind as it seemed and she changed gears, I guess we don't quite know. But it was an amazing sporting moment, as they say.
Yes, and she created a little bit of controversy when she dropped the Australian flag and the Indigenous flag around her. There was it divided a few people. What do you think of that?
Well, it did divide quite a few people, and to be honest, since you've asked, I was disappointed. You know, we are, as it were, one Australian country, and we compete under one Australian flag. And without trying to get too political, the flag that Australia competes under, as far as the Olympic goes, is our traditional accepted Australian flag. And I'm sad, but I think as soon as you introduce other political statements, and I choose to interpret that Aboriginal flag as a political statement, then you're opening the gate. And I think that the Olympic movement can ill afford to allow any political commentary. You think back to the black protest with the black clenched fist
at Mexico,
and they had their gold medals and silver medal taken away. In fact, the Australian, I think his name was Norman, mm-hmm. Came third. There's a very good film on that as well, as far as the Olympics go. But yes, I think it would have been nicer if Kathy hadn't actually put it there, but that's it.
Yes, I was over there for the 2000 Olympics, and I was a sports press specialist for the baseball and the softball, but I did get to see some athletics, and I saw Kathy Freeman run the heats of the 200, and I took a photograph of it, and that was a real highlight for me because she really did represent Australia at the Olympic Games. She was the lighting the cauldron and all that. She was the great hope of Australia.
Oh, she was. And I, you know, I'm a great Kathy Freeman fan. I just don't think it was necessary to go that extra step. I mean, she's a proud Australian and we're proud of her, no matter what the colour of her skin may be. And I don't think the Olympics is the right time nor place to push that concept.
Okay, fair enough. Another controversy for you, going back a few years, Dawn Fraser now. Dawn was a magnificent swimmer. She won 8 gold medals over 3 Olympics. Her main event, of course, the 100 metres. She won gold in 1956 at Melbourne, in 102 in Rome in 1960. She again won the gold in the 100 metres with 101.2. And then in Tokyo, 1964, she cracked the minute, 59.5. But then afterwards, she was accused of stealing the Olympic flag from the Emperor's place, palace or whatever it was, and she swam across a moat and she was arrested, but she was released, and then she was banned for 10 years by the Australian Olympic Committee, who lifted the ban just before Mexico. But at 31 years old, she was wasn't in any shape to prepare for those Olympics. But, you know, yes, she was controversial, but those gold medals were magnificent.
Oh, they were. And I think, in a sense, it doesn't justify the borrowing or, dare I say, stealing of the flag. But she was a girl with a great deal of charisma. She did lots of things from left field rather than straight down the middle. And that possibly not only, I think, indicates her basic character, but it also probably partly explains that why she was so good, that she was prepared to do different things in all, not just borrowing the flag, but in the way she trained and the way her attitude towards life. And she's still a great character.
Now, of course, she won her first gold medal in the 56 in the Melbourne Olympics. And that was the first time Australia hosted an Olympic Games. Now, back in those days, they used to have demonstration sports, and they had two in Melbourne. Do you know, can you guess which two sports they were?
Oh, I love it when you put me on the spot. Given that it's a homegrown Olympic event in Melbourne, I would find it incredibly hard not to believe that Aussie football wasn't one of them.
Yes, it was.
Oh, there you go.
And the other one?
I guess we've got to try and think of something in our... Like, I'll go cricket.
No, it was baseball.
Baseball. It's an American sport.
Yeah, well, they had to have one Australian one and one from another country. So that's how baseball got in. And for the baseball game, the Australian team played the USA Far East Command, who were just happened to be in Australia at the time. And, of course, USA won it 11-5. There were five South Australians in the team. John Langley, Peter Box, the pitcher, Colin Payne, first base, Max Puckett, very famous name in South Australian baseball, and Norm Chalky White, who actually hit a home run in the game.
Well, there you go. So tell me, who were the two footy teams that played?
Okay, the two footy teams. One was made up of Vic amateurs, and the other one was made up of VFL, VFA amateur players. And the amateurs won 12-9 to 8-7.
Well, isn't that a surprise? All Victorians. Can't believe that, Robert.
Yes, that's why I mentioned the five South Australians in the baseball. And interestingly, they claim that the attendance at the baseball game was a world record, 114,000 or in that vicinity. But the actual fact is when they started the game, there probably would have only been a couple of thousand. And as people sort of came in for the athletics later in the day, they counted them all. So they've claimed a record.
Well, I know that your first love in life is baseball, and I thought you were going to get that in somehow. But I'm pleased that you've conceded that the 100,000 weren't really there to see the baseball.
No, it's not my first love. My wife is my first love.
Oh, that's lovely.
Now, probably the most influential overseas athlete in my lifetime was Carl Lewis. Now, Carl Lewis, in 1984 in Los Angeles, he emulated the great Jesse Owens from 1936 by winning the 100-metre, 200-metre, the relay and the long jump gold medals.
Yep. Well, it's interesting you've just raised his name, because I think one of the most impressive interviews that I've ever seen in my life, and it's amazing how it's stuck with me, maybe because of my background in teaching and coaching sport, but I can well recall seeing an interview with Carl Lewis late at night, 11 o'clock-ish, a long, long time ago on ABC Channel 2. And I was so impressed with Carl Lewis and his attitude towards sport. And I think I was even more impressed with the way that he was brought up, because it's part of my sporting philosophy, that in fact, give or take the detail being totally accurate, but he basically didn't take up athletics until he was 16 or 17. But what he did talk about, and which he thinks is the biggest reason that he was such a great athletic all-rounder, was that his parents had encouraged him to play and be active in virtually every sport there was going around. And so he had this sort of deep background in generalised fitness and giving him a great number of skills as well. And it stuck with me forever.
Yes, a real champion. Of course, there was a controversy in Seoul in the 100 metres with Ben Johnson got disqualified, so he got the gold medal for that, and he also got the long jump and the silver for the 200. Barcelona in 92, he got gold in the relay and the long jump again for the third straight Olympics, and amazingly came back in 96 in Atlanta and for the fourth consecutive Olympics won the long jump gold medal. To my thinking, that would be the most impressive Olympic feat in the history of the Games.
Well, it's certainly going to be up there with the best of them. Mentioning the 100 metres when, in fact, he ran second before Ben Johnson was found guilty of drugs. I've got that on tape, and it's an extraordinary thing to watch, particularly in slow motion, because the one thing that you train athletes never to do is look at the opposition, particularly in a short distance event like the 100. And Carl Lewis looks, I think it's three times over at Ben Johnson, and I think can't believe that the bloke's in front of him. Well, we know now why he was in front of him, but it stuck with me forever that I think Carl was almost couldn't believe it was happening.
And while Carl Lewis is probably my number one Olympic athlete of all time, the best Olympic film of all time would have to be Chariots of Fire.
Oh, yes, absolutely wonderful. An inspiration to anyone who beholds the Olympic Games and the sort of Olympic ethos. It sort of says it all.
Yes, you got Harold Abrahams, who was a Jew and obviously had to fight that the stigma of being a Jew in that sort of period in 1924. He went on to win the 100 metres, but there's another chap, Eric Little, who was a Christian, and he wouldn't compete in the trials for the 100 metres on the Sunday, so he was disqualified and didn't get to run. But in an amazing story, he ran the 400 metres and won the gold medal for that.
It's amazing, isn't it? How things have changed. I mean, I just love people who have got the belief and the strength of their beliefs to make decisions as major as they would be, being at Olympic Games but not prepared to compete on a Sunday, is quite extraordinary. It only goes to show the strength of character of him and others who have done similar type things.
And of interest, Harold Abrahams, his brother Sidney was a long jump Olympian, and another brother, Adolf, was the founder of the British Sport Medicine. All right, Rick, that's enough for today's show. I'll look forward to another show, hopefully looking at the Olympics after the 2016 edition.
Yes, that was good fun. Thank you.
This is Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drew.